This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, I mean, we're a long way from Watson on the field for the Dolphins or someone else this year. Still seems to me, like, to say the least, within the realm of possibility that he's traded but doesn't play anyway. But I did cut him in the Scott Fishbowl today for Nico Collins, so that couldn't have been worse timing, probably. I'm not going to...
Perhaps, but I still would... I mean, whatever. I could lose a lot of money if I bet on all the things and bet heavily on all the things that I think I'm sure of, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers not playing for Green Bay anymore, as an example, from this summer. But I've thought all along, I don't see how he gets on the field. I don't know how a team even trades for him. I mean, it seems like something could be happening there, but it just blows my mind to think somebody's going to have a news conference and introduce this guy with that all that stuff hanging over his head. It's big, serious, heavy stuff.
I think at 1-5, like, you can do it, because you could just, hey, that's going to play itself out. You know, the way these corporations talk, right? The legal system will play out. But they don't have to put him on the field. In fact, to your point, right, I think they really wouldn't, right? I mean, they could, but he doesn't come in to sort of get them into the playoffs or anything
like
that.
That's a way to make the trade then.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we know that we take it seriously. I mean, it's a sham, but there's a way to navigate through it if you're not rushing him on the field. I agree.
Paul Hamilton with us now. Paul, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I agree with Bulldog. I just don't know how you can justify to your fans and everything that I know you're bringing in a good football player, but with everything hanging over his head, it's like when the Montreal Canadiens drafted that guy who in the first round, who was suspended. I'm sorry, his name escapes me, but you know, for the things he was doing, I think taking photos of women and that kind of thing and putting them out there and got caught doing it, and then you and he took himself out of the draft, and the Canadians still take him in the first round and then wind up regretting it. It's like, what were you thinking? I mean, did you really think I know you're arrogant and you're the Montreal Canadiens, but did you really think you were going to pull that off and get away with it?
Well, we'll keep watching that story. Maybe we have a trade. And Joe brought up earlier, by the way, like, what happens to Tua Tagovailoa in that situation? Good question. And there is a report attached to Watson. Aaron Wilson is the name of the reporter who says that there's another trade involved. And, you know, we talked it out. I think that might be right. We'll see, but it's logical to think that Tua would end up on a third team and not the Texans if there were this kind of a trade. Then maybe they would just go Brissett in Miami. We'll see. We can move on, because it's not like it's done or anything, it seems. All right. Paul, the Sabres are 3-0. How about that?
Yeah, they are. Who would have thunk it? But
talking about things I would have lost money on if I bet heavily.
At least the schedule.
Well, I kind of help you through that a little bit, Bulldog, before the first game. You know,
I know.
I did say, you know, if they are indeed better like they say they are, who's to say they can't pick up 14 of the first 22 points,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the schedule that they have. And so far, they've got six of those points.
Montreal, after playing the night before, this is going to sound like I'm trying to poke at them. I don't really mean to be. The shootout against a terrible, probably terrible Arizona team, and then last night. Well, what is your takeaway from last night? Is last night different than the first two games in some way? Is it better?
Yeah, because you played a better team. You know, and I don't subscribe to the, you know, a lot of fans are well, look who they've played. Well, everybody's in the NHL, and everybody has a schedule. And everybody gets to play the Coyotes, and everybody gets to play Montreal, and everybody gets to play Vancouver, and everybody gets to play Boston and Tampa and the rest of it. So I just dismissed that right away. They played a better team in Vancouver, and once they got their legs under them, it was a little bit different because they didn't start well, and there was a lot of pressure from the Canucks, and they didn't handle it well. The passing was horrendous, and they couldn't get out of their own end very well. They were turning it over, but then only that's the difference, though. It only lasted about 7 minutes. It didn't last the whole game. They didn't panic.
Yeah.
You know, it lasted for about 7 minutes. You got a couple of good hits from Haig. And then you got a good forecheck by the Thompson line, followed by a good forecheck from the Eakin line. And next thing you know, you get a goal, and you tied it up. And now you're on your way. And, yeah, you left the period down 2-1, but you could see they had their game back. It was a deflection in front of the net that made it 2-1. And what we said is going to happen kind of happened in the second period. Now you got 16 shots in the second period. You have your game, but it took you 17 and a half minutes to tie the game when you were pretty much back dominating a team, a pretty good team, by the way. In the Vancouver Canucks, a lot of offensive power on that team, which the Sabres, for the most part, pretty well shut down. You didn't even notice them for most of it. And it took you 17 and a half minutes to get back. And then the third period, you get two goals in 23 seconds because of hard work. And, you know, you win going away. So, you know, I think, you know, it's a better win against a better team, which came out hard against you. And you figured it out. You weathered the storm. You figured it out. You started playing hard yourself. I mean, this is a team that's averaging over 37 shots a game and like 3.67 goals per game. Now, that's not going to keep up, I don't think. You know, I suppose it could, but I don't think it is.
Right.
You know, that they're going to average 3.67 goals per game. And you know, they might average close to 37, 35 shots a game just the way they play. But sometimes they need a lot of shots to wind up getting a goal out of it.
Yeah, I liked last night. I you know, I've watched all three of these games start to finish, and I liked last night the most. I don't think Vancouver's great, but they're, to me, the best of the three teams. You know, Montreal's lost without Price, without Weber, without Kotkaniemi, who, you know, they chose to not match that contract on an RFA offer sheet. I just think they've lost some stuff there that mattered to them a lot last year. And even last year was sort of like a crazy run that nobody saw coming. And, you know, good for them. They made it. But that doesn't mean suddenly they're a cup contender this year, Montreal. So I like this Vancouver team okay. Again, I don't want to elevate them too high. But you make the right point here, Paul, about some of the talent they've got. And the fact that there was some adversity, you know, I mean, they did give up a kind of a cheesy, you know, deflection goal, not, you know, anyone's fault, but it happens in hockey near the end of the period. And they still came out and just took the game over. And I liked that. And tie game going into the third, and they were vastly the superior team in the third period. In the game, and I think that was really promising. And I like to see Jeff Skinner score a skillful, talent
Skinner goal. That's
goal.
Skinner
yeah,
goal.
I mean, that was a tremendous play by him. And he's a guy that if you want to start investing in this actually staying in the air, I mean, they're airborne. They're 3-0. Like, we'll see. You know, I mean, how well the pilot can operate the plane with the cargo it's got. But if you want this thing to stay in the air, Skinner scoring is something that has to happen because they have a lot of scoring on this team, just 5 goals in 2 of their games.
Yeah, another habit they seem to be getting out of, which is a habit they've had for a long time, is after a goal, whether they scored it or give it up, they have tended to have horrendous shifts for a long time now. I'm talking like for 5-6 years where it was always they get a goal. And then the next shift, it's like you're hanging on, hoping the other team doesn't score because they get 3 golden opportunities. It seems like they get all uptight. It's like, ooh, we just tied the game. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh. Well, that seems to have gone away. And it's one thing I've been noticing, and the 2 goals in 23 seconds reminded me of that. That, you know, they don't panic when the puck winds up in their net. The next shift isn't, you know, the other team's all over them and they're giving the puck away and you're hoping your goaltender doesn't make it 2 goals on you. Or even when you score, it's like, oh, wow, we just took the lead. We better go into a defensive shell and hope our goaltender can keep us in this game type of a mentality. That, at least through three games, seems to be a mentality that has left them, which is a very good thing.
We'll see. Paul Hamilton with us on the West Shore Hotline. What's interesting to me, I guess, if anything is about this, is that the players doing most of the good work seem to be veterans. Like, it's not a young team, really. I mean, you have a team that's expected to finish last. And there's a, we're just talking about the Texans. The Texans are actually very much like this. Sorry to cross sports, but the Sabres are not really young like they were at other times here in this last decade where they've been trying to get airborne, as Bulldog said. I mean, they're actually average age. They're older than the average in the league. Like, they're above average for average age of players. And you have Oposo and Gergensons and even Skinner in a different way. Like, right, Paul? I mean, if they're going, it's actually a reason why I would still be betting against them, because it's players who've been proven in the league for many years, not, you know, what? I guess it's always Cousins, I guess, first in my mind, but it doesn't have to be him. Just somebody new who's like, bang, this guy might be great. We've seen that on other teams. You know, we've seen it here over the years. So, I don't know. Like, that's kind of interesting, though. It's cool for those guys that have been on losing teams throughout their careers here.
Yeah, some of their, quote, younger players have been around. Like, Bryson was in college for a couple of years and spent a couple of years in Rochester, but I consider him a young player, but he's an older young player. I mean, when you say young player, you're looking at Cousins, you're looking at Dahlin, you're looking at Joakim Harju, and the rest of them have a maybe
kind of
middle
it.
Stat. Maybe middle stat.
Middle stat's out, and Joakim Harju's out, and Dahlin's at 200 right. games, so it's not easy to come up with this list.
Does Bjork qualify as a young player?
They still are young players. I don't care how many games they but they're still young players.
I know their ages. Two of them are not in the lineup.
But what where you get into it is, I'm actually getting to your point. You're not letting me get there because I'm actually kind of agreeing with you. Then you get to Thompson, who's been around for a little bit. You get to Olofsson, who is older and playing in Europe. Is still, you know, not the oldest thing for the NHL, but, you know, consider a newer NHL. Ristolainen would fall in that category, you know. So, you know, that's where, you know, that's absolutely right, where they're considered young for the NHL from the fact of their careers, but they've played other places to get up to here, and they're not like the Cousins or Dahlin or that type of age.
Well, the players I mentioned are even still different. I mentioned Gergensons. I mentioned Oposo. Eakin works. He's 30, if we're going to do it by age. Like, these are kind of the story of the first few games, I think. Gergensons has 4
line.
Points. Oposo the first night. And this is kind of, I mean, at least noteworthy. And it just sort that's where you sort of, or I kind of come to this position, or not position, just sort of the observation that it's not a team where you have, as we're both laying out, where you have young players like new to the Sabres, new to the NHL, the way, you know, other teams have had when they sort of blossomed, that can be expected to do that. They're just kind of not here. And, you know, in a couple cases, as we've spelled out, you have guys who aren't even on the ice right now anyway. So we'll see how long these players, you know, who've been hundreds of games with the Sabres, Gergensons, Oposo, et cetera, can keep it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, you have to agree. That whole line is, I haven't seen Eakin's whole career or anything, but you got to figure all three are playing the best hockey of their careers right now. I mean, without question. And, you know, I think Hague is probably playing a little bit better than he did in Philadelphia. You know, Pesek really has been lost for the last 2 years. I've been laying forward and hardly playing, and, you know, I've liked his game a lot as he's kind of getting a chance to play defense again. So, you know, yeah, there are a lot of players that fall into that category that, you know, are playing some of the best hockey they've played in a long time.
I probably should mention their goalies here if I'm going to make this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
40 and 32.
Right.
And the 32-year-old hasn't made an NHL
no.
team from the beginning of the year since 2015.
Right. Like, isn't it significant? How many players on the team would you call a prospect?
Cousins, definitely. I still go with Dahlin and Joakim Harju. I know they've played games. Asplund, I have that in my mind. Thompson,
Asplund.
I still have in my mind. Thompson's still, he's better this year, But, you know, he's to a point, turning 24, where it's got to happen now. I mean, it's no more, well, let's see if, you know, he can get used to things and everything. You've gone through all that. But I still consider him a prospect at 24, yes.
You know, Oposo and Gergensen's had some moments with Larson, right, a couple years ago. Because Larson's mm-hmm. been gone since, like, he wasn't here last year already, right? I'm trying to remember. The two COVID years sort of blend together to
yeah.
me. But that line had some moments. They didn't produce goals, but they did a lot of good zone work. And so, you know, Gergensen and Oposo as wingers have some experience in that department. What's happening here, which I think is unlikely to continue, is that they're scoring like they're scoring. Mm-hmm. But that line is getting those chances and playing that way is the big surprise, because Eakin was a sinkhole last year. So, like, I don't know. I guess what Mike is asking really is, like, can you believe that that's going to continue? And, I think there's reason to question that,
mm-hmm.
but
absolutely.
There is some evidence that Gergensen and Oposo can drive play, at least. Whether or not they're going to score like this is, to me, you know, really highly debatable.
Yeah, I think you could go to Vegas and bet that Zemgus Gergensen is not going to be their leading scorer at a point a game by the time 82 games rolls around.
Right.
I'm not trying to insult the guy or anything like that.
Who,
it's just
who
I
is,
expect that to happen.
Who is favored? Who is the favorite to be their leading scorer?
I've been kicking that around since before the season even started, and I don't think I have a better answer for you right now. I mean, it possibly could wind up Dahlin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yep.
Or, you know, Ristolainen's a guy that can pick up points if he gets the opportunity to play regular on a regular basis. I mean, I think you're looking at somebody like that. But and Mittelstadt would have been a candidate depending on how many games he misses. You know, if
yeah.
it's just 2 weeks, you know, he could be a candidate for that. Other than that, I just don't have a very good answer for you for that.
I think Mittelstadt would have been my guess before the yeah. season started because of his position. You'd assume a lot of usage, and that would be what I would base that on, but
yeah.
he's out.
Same here. You mentioned Mittelstadt, Paul, and we know, like, he's out for a bit here still. What happened today? Like, Hinostroza was not there, but that was a maintenance-type thing, so he's fine. But Eakin got banged up, and do we know anything about that, or won't we know anything until tomorrow?
I still get squirrely with maintenance days, although I don't think that happened much with Granato. I think we can trust Granato a little bit more than some of the other coaches we've rolled with. You know, maintenance days all of a sudden turn into a month with some
yeah.
of these guys. You know, so we'll see. But that's what they – yeah, Eakin wound up flying into the post. And he was slow getting up. He sat at the bench for a little bit, then went down the hallway, and that was the end of him. So it was too early to be able to give us an update after practice. So they said they're still evaluating him, and they'll give us an update tomorrow.
Okay. Will there be practice tomorrow?
Yes.
There is. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had Sunday off, so they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
I didn't really, especially with a couple of days in between games. I didn't expect them to give any days off here, especially
Paul,
with three games and four coming up, and they will have the fourth day off. They'll have the next Sunday off again.
Sorry, I know it's still real early, but I know how I sounded about Tage Thompson being shifted to center as late as he was in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're three games in, and it kind of seems like it's going well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, and Asplund's helping him out. Asplund was a center, you know, and they know each other. They spent time together in Rochester. All three of them did. Olsson and Asplund are best friends, so they all know each other pretty well. And, yeah, it has gone pretty well for him. Just what Granato said, the reasons why he was thinking about doing it and has been thinking about doing it have blossomed into what it is. You know, giving him a chance to get into the middle of the ice where he has more options left, right, and whatever he wants to do. His reach, I think, does well for him, too. He hasn't been bad in his own end. You know, I haven't noticed where he's killed them in his own end, in his defensive zone coverages. And quite frankly, a guy who hasn't taken many faceoffs in the NHL has started off pretty well. And he took an important faceoff
yep.
with 15 seconds left in that Arizona game. He took the defensive zone faceoff and he won it. You know, so, you know, the different things, it's gone much better than I was thinking it might go when they first talked about it. and especially since it came so late in training camp.
I heard you ask. I watched that, and I happened to run to the store right afterward, and I heard you ask Don Granato that question. And didn't Granato say something about, like, well we got to find out what these guys can do, right? Like, I don't know what Tage Thompson can do yet. He hasn't played center since he was playing youth hockey practically. So, like, let's see how it goes. You know, maybe that'll change at some point down the road, but want to at least, like, get a look at it, right?
That's what he said. I asked him, I go, you're not playing with these guys, are you? I says, you throw them right in the deep end. I said, here's a guy who's hardly ever played center in the NHL and hardly ever taken faceoffs. With 15 seconds left in a tie game, you haven't taken a defensive zone faceoff, and he wins it. And he goes, absolutely. He goes, you got to find out if these guys can swim. And that's, I think, part of what I like about Granato. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to try things. If they don't work, so be it. Then we move on. But, you know, I think that's good in a coach, that he's willing to have some new ideas and then look at things and said, you know what? I've kicked this around my coaches. This might work. Let's give it a try. Let's give this a look and see if this would work.
How good of a swimmer are you, by the way? I don't think I've ever asked you.
I did lifeguard when I was in high school.
You were a lifeguard. Okay.
Yes, I was, over at the Y on Main Street.
You got to be pretty good.
So, yeah, it was I don't particularly like swimming. Like, I had a pool here when my wife was alive, and she loved the pool. I might have been in that pool three times the whole time. I learned how to, like, replace every filter and motor in the whole thing. So I got I got handy with it. But I just don't like swimming all that much. I'm not a big pool person.
I may call you in the spring since you're so handy with pools.
I'm around.
I've lost the love for it this year. It was a tough year for me in that area. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
There you go. That's our Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline and his appearance on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
We would swim every day growing up on the East River of the island. And, like, the real, when, you know, usually we weren't doing this because we were having fun. But to test yourself, what you would do is what? You would swim against the current.
Uh-huh.
And where I grew up, if you made it one dock, that's good.
Yeah.
I never made it more than one dock. I was satisfied. If I ever got it to the, it was the Costanzos. If I ever made it to the Costanzos dock swimming from the end of ours, like, that was a workout. My father, though, my father can still just probably, I don't know, I haven't asked him or seen him in a while about do this, but I know he can just, you know, how far do you want me to go?
Yeah.
how far do you want me to go today? But I was never able to do that. It's good workout, though.
For sure, yeah.
Sports coming up. I want to ask Joe who he thinks should end up leading the Sabres in points. Is it someone on the team? Probably has to be someone on the team, right? Could it be Eichel? Like, what would a betting chart look like of leading scorers for the Sabres this year? Who would be on the list?
Trevor Zegras.
Right. Somebody's on a different team. Eichel's on there. And then maybe four or five of these guys. 3-0. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. A lot more football today as well. This is WGR.
I don't know. I took some time off, to be honest with you. I just kind of got away from the game and really refocused on putting my best foot forward this year. And I knew that there was a lot of different coverage about our team coming into the season, and I just wanted to kind of block all that out and just focus on myself and go play.
Kyle Okposo off to a good start, as are the Sabres as a team. 3 points in three games for him, and for the Sabres, 3 wins. Good luck to him and to them. Fun, cool, interesting.
Yeah, I think all of those things. Check, check, check. They are, I mean, you know, winning games is obviously fun, but they are playing a fun, you know, they didn't score a ton of goals against Arizona. They scored one goal and then one in a shootout. That was still a fun game to watch. Like, they had a ton of chances. They are generating a lot. And that's, I think, not a product of me having an absurdly low bar for them to clear. You know, I mean, I know what we were expecting, what I was expecting. But I don't think I'm, you know, I'm falling victim to thinking it would be terrible, so it's not terrible, so wow, isn't this great? Like, they have played an exciting, fun brand of hockey. They are doing really what Granato has talked about wanting to do since last year, and I wasn't optimistic they'd be able to pull it off successfully, but they are, they're carrying play of the puck all the time in these games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say any. Like, I don't think it's that interesting yet. I think it's cool and fun and a story that they've won these games. Paul makes a point about everybody plays everybody. Yes, of course, but they haven't yet. You know, the question is about who they've played already, and that's something. They've only played at home. That's something. I'm not trying to, you know, douse them in water or anything like that. I just want to, like always. What I'm always trying to do in sports is figure out what we've got. And I don't think it's different than what I would have thought. I mean, I really don't think there's a high ceiling that's even possible this year for this roster, frankly. I mean, what is the best case scenario for this roster this year? Maybe in the 80s in points? Above that would be incredible. It'd be great. It would shock me if they did it without restructuring the roster somehow, you know, in an Eichel trade or something else.
Yeah,
because they're known commodities, right? It's a good story, and it can change when Oposo, with due respect to the guy, has been a real pro talking about refocusing and all that he said. There's still a limit to what, you know, a player is, right? So, I don't know. I really don't even want to be talking about it because it sounds like I'm sitting here saying, like, you know, just trying to be honest.
Right.
And it's very early is all.
Right. And what you're saying, the way you just said that, makes me feel like I need to say, like, I'm not sold either.
Right.
I'm just telling you, and this is not so much for you, but for the audience. You know, because I get some of this too. Like, I'm having my usual fun last night watching the game. You know, there's 3 minutes to go, garage, 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 all that. I'm getting, come on, look who they've played. And I'm like, okay, I said garage 17 times in a row. I did not say they're great. You know, like, I'm just having fun. They won. They're winning. This is what I do, okay? So, yeah, I mean, there's going to take a lot more than what they've done so far to really impress. But I guess I just want to say the way that they've been playing, I don't know if it's sustainable when they get to Boston and Tampa eventually. I mean, they'll have those two teams in here pretty quick, and then it's back to a little more of, you know, the level that they've already been playing. But they're dominating these games. And it's not like they're winning in some fluky fashion like they did in the 10-game win streak. I mean, they did win in a shootout against Arizona, but to me, they got a result they deserved in that game. I mean, they dominated the game. So, you know, yes, they're not playing the great teams yet, but they are playing like effectively and smartly. And, you know, again, I don't know how much, you know, I think the talent eventually scoring goals is going to be a problem for them. But so far, there's nothing to me fluky about the results they've had against the teams they've played.
Okay. There would be a point this season for me, for anybody, where you would, if you thought, like most, that this was going to be a, you know, another cellar dwelling team, there would be a point at which you could come off that. If you're trying to analyze it, not just root for them, but analyze it, there could be a point at which you come off that and, like, all right, well, this is different than I thought. What should be done about it? And suddenly you're talking about whether it's Eichel. It doesn't always have to be Eichel, but suddenly you're talking about moves that are more for the present. And they could, of course, naturally have an added impulse in that direction because of the playoff drought. And they're trying to get people back in there and all those sort of incentives that not every team would have. A team that's been to the playoffs a lot could be like that and be like, whatever, it's still not in our best interest. Those kind of, you know, strategies can often come back to bite you. But, you know, whatever. It's all, I'm speaking kind of very vaguely, and it's a long ways off, right, where you'd get to a point with this team, like, hey, they could actually do this, you know, make the playoffs. And so how do we, you know, what do we do about it? How do we get there? But give me, I don't know, when is the earliest I might think that way? Mid-December, maybe? Maybe 2 months, and see what we've got in 2 months, and if they're in it, maybe even earlier, maybe like beginning of December. perhaps, yeah. where like, all right, well, let's see, they're in it. So what do I want to go get somebody good? Like, what do I want to do here? They would have cap room.
Yeah, I mean, I totally will understand, and like I think we're like minded. I mean, again, I'm pointing out what I've watched in these three games. I don't know, like, when I'll believe, but that it's really different, or that they're somehow almost impossibly to believe good in this year. But you know, different things will. Well, I mean, different things will mean different things to everyone, of course. But like for me. Let's see what happens when you lose one or even two in a row. Like, does it spiral? Does that become 8 out of 10? Or can you, like, you know, stabilize, get back to playing your game, like coaches always talk, and avoid, you know, just spiraling? You know, this is a team that has a roster that I think before these three games were played, a lot of us would have agreed they have the potential to do some serious spiraling. You know, it's just not, there's just not a lot there. But again, like if you can stave that off somehow with just managing the puck and just taking care of things and again, out chancing teams, out shooting teams, just out possessing teams, I don't know. Maybe that's your pathway because I don't think they're going to outscore a lot of people. You know, like I think they're going to have to play pretty buttoned up and so far so good.
Do you have a pick for who should be the leading scorer? I still am struggling. I've asked Twitter, and I'm still like, lots of names.
I mean, I would have said Mittelstadt, like you brought up when we were talking to Paul, before the year started, because just simply volume. Like he's pretty talented, and he's going to be playing big minutes and power play and all the stuff. So, and I think he really came a pretty long way last year. So I would have picked him, but you know, missing even a couple of weeks could hurt. I'd love it if it were Dahlin. Like, if Dahlin had, like, a 55-point season and led this team in scoring, I know that's a paltry number for 82 games to have only 55 points, but if Dahlin, that would be really positive to me. So I like that idea. You know, otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I liked Skinner as a real, like, dark horse bounce-back candidate. But, you know, he's got one goal here, and I don't know. I haven't looked at the entire scoring to see like what he's, you know, what kind of assist production he's had already, but he's not a big assist guy anyway, so I don't know that I would want to pick him. I don't know. It's hard.
It is. By the way, I don't think 55 is far off. Would 55 be the number? Would it be higher or lower than 55? Most points on the Sabres.
I think that's, I mean, there's a reason I said
I
that
know.
Number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like, you said paltry compared to like most teams.
Right.
But It's probably a good number.
My pick for this would be a guy who actually, I just looked it up, has exactly a 55. He averages 55
2 points in three games
for every 82 games.
2 points in every three.
Yeah. Olofsson.
Power play.
Just power play. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go much higher than what he's been, but 42 points in 54 games 2 years ago, 32 and 56 last year, like, I think he's going to get at least 40, and he could get close to 60 just sitting on the power play and just ripping one-timers off.
No one has odds on this, right? Like, for all the betting that exists in the world now, no one has odds on this? Let's make them. Then what do? We can't take bets, right, Bulldog? We can't actually do that.
I don't think we can house that, no.
No, we can't actually take bets on this.
Things have changed a lot in the world, but
yes,
I don't think that has changed.
Yeah. That is where you make your money, though, I've found. That is where you make your money in gambling. Be the house. Dahlin is interesting. Olofsson makes sense. Skinner might make sense. Power play is a good point. There's just no center that is obvious. I don't know. I love the question.
I'd bet against it being a center.
You'd bet on a non-center winning this.
Yes,
I'd
bet on a non-center.
Honor.
A winger. If I'm picking a position, I'm definitely going winger.
The year before, was it the year before Reinhart or the year before Jack? The year when they drafted Reinhart, they were last in the league by 15 points. I feel like that was the year where their leading scorer was like super low, Bulldog, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's good years this team had where like the Dom teams, like maybe where Holzinger or Plant might have been this team's leading scorer with that kind of number, like 50 something points.
Mm-hmm.
So the tank year, 2014-15, Ennis led with 46. The year before, which is the Reinhardt, right before the Reinhardt draft, Hodson led with 44. Cody Hodson.
82 games?
72 for him. It was an 82-game season, though, for the NHL, if that's what you're asking.
Let's say it is. Let's say it is. All right. No, interesting. Well, I haven't thought about that one yet.
I think I might want to vote Dahlin here. He's going to play a ton. He's going to play power play, and he's going to get assists. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much goal scoring potential he's got. He still doesn't have like a great shot. He's got great hands. He's got great vision. He's got a lot of great things, but his shot is not great. So he's not somebody who's going to hammer it in, you know, from the point on the one timer. I mean, he'll get a few, but it's not a weapon. They should not be setting him up like, oh, that's the shot we want. I mean, sometimes you got to just do it just to keep everybody honest, but it's not an elite trait of his at all.
Mm-hmm.
But assist wise, I mean, he could get 50 assists and 5 goals and lead this team in scoring.
Could we draft this somehow? Could we make up a game? 1997-98, Miroslav Shatan led the Sabres in points with 46 in a full season. That was the game, too, a little bit, maybe. I wonder what the league scoring looked like that year. All right, well, fun to think about. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
I want to remind you, you can let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills contest link and enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from among all entries to win. Good luck.
Good luck for me as well.
Thank you.
Two of the contestants. You don't need luck. Right?
Whatever. You just need to enter. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But...
You don't need luck.
Me?
You.
I don't. No, I'm not. Yeah, well, I'm not.
Not here. Not in fantasy and not in this.
No. I could use some luck in some other things probably. Yeah.
Nah, you don't want to be greedy. Notice Joe's voice a little bit?
Yeah, he's getting worse by the minute.
Mm.
Are you?
I need some tea or something. I don't think they have that here.
I noticed a downgrade since 3 o'clock.
I don't think they have tea here.
Do you think there's tea out in the bistro somewhere?
The other day I was looking for Band-Aids. Were you here for that?
No, but 2 weeks ago was looking for Band-Aids.
Did you find any?
I did.
Where?
Come on.
There is a first aid kit out on one of the bistro drawers.
Okay, that's what Alan said. I never looked because it never got that bad, but I have an awful cut on my finger from a week ago Saturday.
I think that's how you didn't find it. You didn't
I didn't look. No, I didn't look. I got through it. Because I've been wearing a Band-Aid on my right middle finger for 10 days. And on this one day, it was like coming off, so I just kind of needed one. But I got through. I didn't bother. So we don't think we have tea? That is really the go-to, isn't it?
Oh, when you're hoarse? Yeah. Yeah.
Tea?
Tea.
What is it about tea?
There's the hot water out there in the coffee maker. So really, I just got to find a tea bag.
We have that. I'll find you that.
You think there's a tea bag out there?
Yes.
I would bet that there is some tea in one of those. I mean, if there's Band-Aids, I think there's tea out there.
We'd be more likely to have tea than Band-Aids?
Also, is tea like absolutely better for this than coffee? Isn't it just hot liquid? That's all you want, right?
I mean, do I want to give you some business about like the herbs and
like herbs. Is that
aroma?
What's doing the work? I don't know
what is doing the work.
I don't feel like coffee, despite being the same temperature, feels as soothing to the throat. Maybe that's because you put honey in tea and that it's really the honey. If you could tolerate honey in coffee, then maybe it would do the same thing. But I think the idea of honey in coffee sounds... horrific.
I don't even know why, but it does. I don't even know why. Why would it be so bad?
I'm not sure it would be. I think it might be okay.
It's sure sugar. It would be.
Just take the honey. Fine. We will not have honey. We will not have honey.
No, we don't.
Although that fridge might have honey.
I might have left honey in there from 6 years ago.
Yes.
No. Do I seem like the kind of person that brought honey to work? Probably not.
That one day when you went off on Mike Mularkey, I think you had honey with you for some reason that day. It's probably still here. Hey, speaking of Bills coaches, you know, earlier we had a call like a guy was worried about Brian Daboll, and we talked about it. Is there something to worry about with the Bills? Like, is there? Dable or something else? Let's see if anybody wants to volunteer something.
I didn't exactly jump all over the guy. I just disagreed with everything he said. And I'm like sitting here thinking.
Technicality.
But we work in the conversation business, and like, what are we supposed to do? Like, hey, the Bills are good. Shut up. Like, it's not a real good way to have the conversation.
No, we don't want to say that.
You know, like, right. Like, don't tell me anything that's critical because they're good. I definitely don't want to stand for that. I just didn't agree with that particular, you know, that particular assessment. The Dable is a problem, especially on Monday night specifically. I don't agree.
But. We'll leave it at that in case anybody has something. Is there a problem? Is there a problem? 803-0550. Is the number. We'll be back after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.